strong word did cleave the darkness. At thy speaking it was done. For created light we thank thee, while thine ordered seasons run. Alleluia.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In today's divine service, right here, this service that you are a part of, that you are indeed being served by the Lord, after this hymn of praise that we sang earlier, there was a prayer that we prayed. It was the collect of the day. And in this prayer, we prayed that the Lord would grant us the ability to hear, to read, to learn, and inwardly digest the Holy Scriptures. And the reason why we pray that is so that we might embrace and ever hold fast to the blessed hope of everlasting life. But why do we pray this? We pray this because in today's gospel reading from the Gospel of Matthew, we heard the sobering truth that many of the seeds that were scattered by the sower, that is that farmer who cast those seeds, many of these seeds did not take root and did not bear fruit. Now, in case you didn't notice, in today's gospel reading, Jesus is speaking in a parable. A parable is the taking of two different stories and laying them side by side to make a comparison and to really teach one main point. Thus, Jesus is speaking about a farmer who is scattering seed among and upon the different plots of land, like taking a sword, a heavy sword, and pulling it aggressively out of its sheath. This farmer reaches deeply into his pouch, grabbing a large handful of seeds and casting it liberally, far and wide upon the various soil conditions. These seeds are cast upon paths, upon rocky ground, upon thorns, and upon good soil. Some of the seeds, they do take root. Others are snatched up by birds, whereas other seeds are scorched by the hot sun. In other words, what Jesus is doing by teaching this parable is that he is answering the question of why, despite his ongoing ministry and ministry of words and deeds, that so many people in Israel were not responding in faith. Let me explain a bit further here. The farmer, he represents Christ. The seed represents the Word of God, that is the gospel. And the soil represents you, and it represents me. What this means and what we must keep in mind is that as soil, yes, as soil, you and me as soil, we can do nothing to add to the power of the Word of God. However, we certainly can do something to impede its power. Yes, our sin is like a hard crust over the soil that needs to be cracked. As crisp soil, we are barren. We are unable to produce anything. And more often than not, we have way too many thorns in our lives. Such things as carelessness, indifference, worry, and materialism, and pleasure that can and do choke the Word of God and inhibit its success. There's also another reason why we pray that we would be granted the ability to hear and read and mark and learn and inwardly digest the Scriptures, and that is because the prince of demons is at work, quickly snatching away the gospel seed. You see, Satan, he knows the gospel's power, and he doesn't want to give it a chance to work. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy your faith, and attempts to do so by snatching the gospel seed away from you. Indeed, soil that is hardened by sin, the evil one devouring, and thorns within one's heart will make the planting and results of the seed unfruitful. Seeds, they will bounce off of crusty and petrified hearts. Seeds cast into shallow soil will be scorched by the sun. Seeds sown into the weeds will be choked out. Surely this is the sober truth. It is the sober truth that Jesus is sharing in today's parable. This is the reason why many during his time rejected his message. Furthermore, it is the reason why this faithful scattering of the seed, declaring God's word, does not always produce the results that one may expect or hope for. You see, Jesus, yes, he did indeed attract thousands of people to him, but toward the end of his ministry, he was only left with the Apostle John and some women at the cross when he bled and died alone. Truly, my friends, the sowing of the seed of the gospel does not ensure or guarantee this magical and automatic success according to the popular ways of our marketing culture. It does not necessarily work in the sense of attracting droves of believers and not inciting opposition. The serious truth from today's parable, it may cause us, though, to attempt to manipulate or manage or fertilize and plow the soil. We may say to ourselves, at least I say to myself, if I can just fix this soil, which is you, if I can fix you and I can fix myself and improve the conditions of the soil, then the seeds will be planted and growth will happen more effectively. While these intentions are noble, we need to keep in mind that we cannot, I repeat, we cannot plow, we cannot manage, we cannot plow, we cannot manage and fertilize the soil. We neither have the ability nor the tools to do such a task. Thus, this too is a work of God. This too is a work of God to and for us. In a word, our sins serve to form a hard crust that has to be cracked and broken open. God does this through the plowshare of his holy law, which plows us over and lays bare that which lies beneath. My friends, only a miracle of God can make the heart good soil for the gospel. Our hearts are just too hard. Our wills are just too bent inward. The soil is like set concrete. Thus, my friends, we pray. We indeed pray, Lord, grant the ability to us, to me, to hear, to read, to mark, and learn and inwardly digest your word so that we may embrace and hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Thankfully, my friends, God's word is like fire that melts. God's word is like a hammer that breaks rocks into pieces. You who have ears, here, the law of God comes to you, it comes to me, mainly to get things ready. The law of God, it uncovers our sin, produces remorse, and brings forth the terrors of hell, death, and wrath. God's holy and precious law, it comes at us, it drives us to desperation, as it rightly should. It stirs the soil, it breaks us up, it breaks the crusty layer, and it disturbs the weeds. This is good, for without God's holy law, the soil cannot receive the good seed of the gospel. Beware, my friends, of preaching and teaching that avoids the law, for the law is indeed good, even though it definitely hurts at times. The law must be proclaimed to you and to me before the gospel. Otherwise, the gospel will have no effect. To paraphrase several of our Lutheran forefathers, we must be preached to hell before we can be preached to heaven. We must be made to realize that we are sick unto death before the gospel can restore us to health. The law must first reduce us to nothing in order that we may be made to be something. And I might add from our gospel text this morning that the soil needs to be tilled, it needs to be stirred, it needs to be cracked, it needs to be mixed before the gospel seed is cast and before it takes root. After the law does its work on you and me, the little seeds of the gospel are sown into our mixed and tilled and stirred soil. In those seeds, is life. The Lord, He puts seeds into your soil. With His word, He is sowing into you what those words say and convey with their potential fruit. These seeds, they do not derive anything from you, anything from me. His words come to us from the outside of ourselves. They are what God gives us to hold on to Him by, and they are words that indeed hold on to us. My friends, without God's word, we are barren soil left without the ability to reach for the gospel seed and left desperately trying to find the gospel seed. But however, take comfort, dear flock, for the gospel seed comes to you. Yes, the gospel seed is not a limited commodity that is stashed away in some obscure silo. Rather, this gospel seed, it is liberally, I say liberally, dispersed and cast to you each and every week of each and every year. This gospel seed is cast out to you whether there is rain, snow, sleet, or hail. Yes, the Lord has given to the church pastors to proclaim not their own words, but His word from pulpits, just like this one, this pulpit. Yes, every week at this divine service that you are a part of, that you are sitting in, that you are held in, every week in this divine service, through the liturgy, through the absolution, through the hymns, through the readings, through the sermon, and through the Holy Supper, this gospel seed is sowed and it is cast into your very soul unto salvation. The gospel, it tells of a love so great it's hard to imagine. God loved the world of sinners, that is you, that is me, to the point that He would send a sacrifice, the Son He loved so dearly. Jesus loved you so much that He willingly took your punishment and mine on Himself. That saving love, it penetrates your hearts and gives birth to faith and trust. There is a hidden, miraculous power in the seed of the Word of God, words that are for you, words that declare it is finished, words that declare you are indeed redeemed. Indeed, today we open our empty hands while confessing, Lord, we thank You that You have sent forth Your Word among us, rooting us in the gospel, making us steadfast in the faith, even unto death. We confess today, we thank You that You joined this word to simple bread and wine so that we might continually receive, yes, continually receive Your Son's body and blood for us. Thank You for granting us the ability to hear, to read, to mark, learn, and inwardly digest Your word so that we may continually embrace and hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. These seeds, my friend, are for you. These seeds are cast to you. These seeds proclaim to you that it is indeed finished. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in this gospel seed, the Word, Jesus Christ.